welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today is J.C. Knight, who is the unique channel of Ramtha and author of the best-selling autobiography, A State of Mind, My Story. Historians and religious experts who have studied her life's work call J.C. the Great American Channel and recognize her as one of the most charismatic and compelling spiritual leaders of the modern age. J.C. and Ramtha have captivated and inspired audiences worldwide for the last three decades, bridging ancient wisdom and the power of consciousness together with the latest discoveries in science. J.C. has appeared on national TV shows such as Larry King and The Merv Griffin Show, offering spiritual insight and inspirations to thousands of people from all over the world and all walks of life, including many well-known figures from the entertainment world. J.C. is the president of J.C.K. Incorporated and Ramtha's School of Enlightenment at www.ramtha.com, a unique academy located in the foothills of Mount Rainier in Washington State. The school, established in the 1980s, and hosts over 10,000 students from the United States and 60 foreign countries. J.C. is the channel through which Ramtha delivers his message. Ramtha is an ascended master teacher who learned in his lifetime the unlimited potential of our minds for creating reality and the extraordinary in our lives. The school's approach is unique and innovative, combining many threads of contemporary scientific research that supports the principle that God lives within each of us. The physical body and the material world are only one aspect of the real world. They are the product of a broader reality constituted by consciousness and energy. The human being is best described as consciousness and energy creating the nature of reality. We are divine beings by nature, thus a spiritual life that incorporates the material world rather than rejecting it is accessible to everyone. J.C. is also the president and owner of J.C. Rose at www.jcrose.com, formerly the Outback Boutique, a treasure chest that offers vintage-style gifts and collectibles, home furnishings, fine antiques, and everything beautiful. J.C.'s personal love for fine art, timeless antiques, and the nostalgic romanticism of the Victorian style inspired her to create a store where she could share the things she loved with other people. Some of the major humanitarian charities J.C. has sponsored through the J.C. Knight Humanities Foundation she created has been the Empowerment of Women, World Peace, and Educating Scholarships for Children. Since 1988, J.C. has contributed more than $1,200,000 to 200 graduating high school seniors so they could pursue their educational goals. She has helped local churches, charities, aiding communities in Africa. She has also participated as the address speaker in international women's conferences affiliated with the United Nations and is one of the keynote speakers at the prophecies conferences inspired by the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, in which she was the star. More information is available at www.jcknight.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, J.C., and I look forward to hearing how you used a wide variety of holistic interventions to help others become empowered and to overcome hardships. Now, how can people use their mind to change limiting beliefs and create productive behavior?
That is a great question, Dr. Carl, because everyone thinks that outside of themselves, if they change a room, they go on holiday, or they go somewhere, that the change of environment will change their mind, but in fact, it doesn't. Those changes are simply a part of our reality, our choices. In order to really change our mind, we have to look at our brain, and I'll talk about the brain very quickly and very simply. Think about our brain as a computer. That may sound cold, but let's just look at it in terms of a computer. Our brain gets hardwired by programs that we select early in life. For example, how we were raised, our point of view, whether we, whatever household we came from, religious background we came from, ethnic background, secular, culturally. And that hardwiring first goes in by the family unit. But behind that is the wiring that we came into this life with. And we came into this life to sort of pick up where we left off behind. Unfortunately, that mission sometimes gets pushed back and isn't revelatory until later on in life. So currently, when people have hardships, it's because, think of your brain then as a roadmap, and you want to start from where you're at and resolve the hardship. And let's say that resolving the hardship is five blocks away, downtown, wherever you're living. Just think of this as a map. Well, if you can just drive to that particular place, you're sure that all your problems will go away. And in fact, it's one step for doing that. But in our neuro map, our brain map, we find detours. And these detours, as we start out trying to do good and trying to help ourselves change ourselves, we hit these detours. And these detours are called neuro brain programming, and they actually take us back from where we started, and then we start to feel hopeless about our situation. But in fact, if we understood then that the greatest way to reach our destination that would solve our problems, our issues, relieve our hardship, is just taking a different route. And if we took a different route, we would arrive at that destination. So if you can picture that kind of map inside of your head and how we achieve a better life and by take alternate routes beyond the detours, we will always arrive at it. And what this comes down to simply as is that first I tell people worldwide, number one, you're wonderful. Number two, you're divine. Number three, you can do anything. And we understand how we can achieve this by simply changing the route in our head. Now, when people have hardships, they have difficulties, and see literally no way around them, it is essentially because they are limited themselves. They are limited. They can't figure out a different way in order to break out of their sort of self-imposed reality. And what I teach people, and very successfully, is the first thing we have to do is that we have to create another thought process. Now, this isn't chanting. It isn't positive thinking or negative thinking. It is simply an observable sentence that we say to ourselves as we're walking. Now, walking is really, really important. And as I was teaching this about 11 years ago in school, I told people that if you walk and say these words, that your brain is much more flexible. In other words, there's a term called neuroplasticity. And that simply means that as you walk and say these words, your brain begins to unhook and map a new route. And that new thought route is going to create the reality out in front of you. And so the words are very simple. I call it my new neighborhood walk. And in my new neighborhood walk, I create my day by simply saying, I have always been filled with the love of God. That's number one. And I say that very slow as I'm walking. I say it very slow. I see the words in my frontal lobe. I see them like I'm looking at them in front of me, sort of trancy kind of walk. And then I do that about three times. The second thing that I say is that all of my needs are met. All of my needs are met. Now, that seems very open, but it is. And every different person is going to have different needs. And when it comes in terms to illness, when it comes to financial hardship, people are losing their homes. That's how you started out. And you say those words very slow. Focus on them as you're walking. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, as you're doing this, your brain is actually creating the thoughts for you to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And by creating the thoughts, your brain is mapping a way in which that is introduced to a hardwiring that creates the reality. In other words, we don't get change outside of us. We don't get our mortgage saved outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get healing outside of us. We get it within us.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts within our head. The third thing that I say, and for me personally, that is has to do with health. And I'm speaking directly now to my genetics,
mm-hmm.
that I've always been 20 years younger and radiantly healthy. I've always been that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you
mm-hmm.
see, the reason I say always is because I want to arrive at the destination of possibility. And in that possibility, my DNA, my genes have all the possibility of reversing my aging.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say always, I allow all of my cells to begin to regenerate. If I say, well, I don't really believe this, well, they just stay to the
right.
standard aging element within the cellular membrane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I say this, that I have always been 20 years younger and radiantly healthy. Always is very, very important. Now, when it comes to your listeners, now this could be their home, this could be the need for financial aid, this could be healing, this could be anything. And so what I would tell them right away is I would say my third thing on my list would be, number one, I have always been, if it is your house, if I have always, always had my home,
mm-hmm.
always say that, if it's to your health, I have always been healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If it is to your whatever, you just say, I have always, and then add that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make it long, make it simple words. Now, what we're doing inside of our head is that we're drawing a new neural net, new brain connections that give us the thoughts. Because what I want to tell your listeners, the power of this walk with these three sentences said slowly and in action wires our brain, and that when our brain is wired, our divine within us, our God that lives within us,
mm-hmm.
our Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, is watching these words like on a screen. And that is called, in scientific terms, observation.
Mm-hmm.
And so internally, your divine is observing the new words as you're walking. As that internal observer watches these words, Carl,
mm-hmm.
we are collapsing reality to make that possible
mm-hmm.
in the material world, and all things are possible. So, first, the rule of thumb is that you have everything inside of you you need. You only need knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, remapping the way you think creates a vastly different reality. And number four, you never, ever have to be without anything. Everything is possible as long as you rewire in your brain how you think.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do this, every one of your listeners, they walk like you do, Carl. You
mm-hmm.
walk.
Mm-hmm.
Your listeners, some of them don't get up and walk. Maybe the only way they go is to the bathroom or they go to the kitchen. I do my walk getting up and going to the kitchen. And if your listeners say, well, I'm too tired, you know, in the moment you say, well, you know what, I've always been energetically happy
mm-hmm.
right now.
Right.
If you say that sitting in your lazy chair, the moment you say that and you say it two times, suddenly you get this glitter, and I call glitter this amazing, beautiful neural energy that just floods your bottom, and you jump out of that chair, and you walk to the kitchen, and you look around, and you go, I'm here, I'm present. And as long as you stay present, you can do anything. You can go outside for a walk. You can make something in the kitchen. You can write letters. You can make a phone call, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. But you see, what changes us from sitting in the couch to getting up
mm-hmm.
is a thought shift.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's a thought shift.
Mm-hmm.
Mind leads body, not body lead mind.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you or make a few comments, because I think you're packing an awful lot into this, and I don't want the listeners to look at it lightly. I think one thing you're talking about is how our subconscious picks up, so that if we say, I'm tired, the subconscious picks that up and you're tired. If you say, I've got lots of energy, you've got lots of energy. You're also talking, as I understand it, about affirmations that are positive. You're working with faith. Is that correct?
I do not call them affirmations,
no.
And I will tell you why I don't call
mm-hmm.
them that.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have already a preset idea about affirmations.
Oh, do they?
Yes,
oh.
They do. Just an affirmation. In other words, this is something that's not really attached to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you say, I,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
am filled with the love of God, I, and you say that really slow while walking,
mm-hmm.
it is a neurological brain fact that as you're saying those words, your brain is rewiring that
mm-hmm.
possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can call it your subconscious. I call it consciousness. I call mm-hmm. it, in physics, they would call it the observer effect.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever lexicon that you want to go with, but we have to be very careful in using terms that we ourselves have soiled.
Mm-hmm.
And we've soiled them, like some people don't pray because they have an opinion now about prayer. Some people don't do affirmations because affirmations are zombie-like and they're boring. And so, in other words, all of those sort of new age terminologies, not everyone thinks of them that way, but the majority
mm-hmm.
of people
mm-hmm.
have an attachment to them of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
But if we refresh that and simply say, you know, this is not an affirmation because I'm actually experiencing it,
mm-hmm.
then it changes the color, and then we allow that reality to come forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jay-Z, when you talk about changing the route in your head,
yes.
is that where you look at the same situation, but instead of being a hardship, it becomes a positive thing? And let me give you an example. When I had lung cancer, at the time, it seemed like a very bad experience. But when I look back at it, it was a turning point in my life and was one of the best experiences. Now, is that changing the route in your head?
Absolutely, but I've made the route in your head, your map in your head, simplistic. I've made it to
mm-hmm.
reach a goal
mm-hmm.
when we find that all of the ways we try to reach that goal are blocked. And sometimes, in your case, Dr. Carl, and in millions of people's cases, there comes an event in our life
mm-hmm.
that literally fractures our reality and brings us to a serious event horizon,
mm-hmm.
a serious moment, and you, it was a prognosis, and then how you would fare at that prognosis. Some people say, oh, well, that's terrible, what should I do? And you, on the other hand, took a look at it, and that event horizon of illness in your life altered and changed your life. In other words, you got serious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It gave you a point of reference to make up your mind that, no, I'm going to live, actually. And I'm going to be well, actually. And that was so forceful, that inner decision from chaos. Chaos is a blessing. And I always tell people,
mm-hmm.
chaos is a blessing because you can either succumb to it or utilize it as an
right.
event horizon to change your life completely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you take your case, Dr. Carl, and then all your listeners, points to where they can reference that change their life, we're talking about the same moment. In other words, we don't need a critical moment every day in our life
mm-hmm.
to wake us up. We simply can wake up and say, I'm choosing a different life here.
Mm-hmm.
I decide that, you know, enough of this. this is not what I expected out of life, this is not who I'm going to be, that any moment in our life we can wake up and take charge. And that waking up and that take charge is so forceful in our brain that it forces new roots of reality.
Mm-hmm.
That you absolutely became well along with millions of other people, but the same root offers, I'm not going to lose my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to manifest the funds to pay for all these bills. In consciousness and energy and in mind, it's all the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're winning a jackpot or simply you got the ability to bake a cake today. It's all the same energy. It's how we judge that energy, if it's more or less. So I would tell your viewers that we should appreciate chaos in our life to the point that it's there purposefully.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make a choice to either go downhill, age and die, or reinvent our life. And at any moment of any day, we can do that. For example, in my day, I walk. I have focused on those words. I get so jazzed by them, and my reality gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the idea that I would become stagnant and unproductive is a folly, because I refuse to let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, does chaos include fear, which is a very intense emotion?
Fear is an emotion. It's an instinctual emotion. It goes back in our DNA, you know, as a mechanism to protect us. It's an instinct.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also an emotion. And interestingly enough, because it is an emotion, and this is the rule of thumb in understanding the practicalities of how we create a new future versus reliving the old.
Mm-hmm.
The future is a blank slate. Like right now, Carl, tonight is a blank slate for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a future. An hour after we talk, it's a future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can move into our future by dragging our past, or we can invent a new future without dragging our past in. And this is what's important, and this has to do with fear.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions that we have today were earned by experiences in our past.
Mm-hmm.
Those experiences in our past is one of the reasons we're here, to make known the unknown. We created it. We experienced it. Our emotions are a record of that. And those emotions are connected with pathways in the brain, old paths in the brain. Now, one of the reasons that people manifest so great in this school, anything and everything they want,
mm-hmm.
is because they've sort of understood, they've come to understand, and I want your listeners to understand, that when we create I'm not going to lose my house.
Mm-hmm.
I have always had my house. I'm not ill. I have always been well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have a you know, medicines piled up beside you, you've always been well. One of the imperatives to creating a miracle is you cannot drag how you feel about it from the past
mm-hmm.
forward. In other words, you have to say it, and you have to be in charge of your emotions and say, no, you belong to yesterday. I want a future. If we drag a new idea coupled with old emotions into a moment that we create, we do not get the new moment. We only get a reality of old emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because emotions are things that we have done, we've experienced it. If we take emotions from the past and lay it on a bright future, all we have done is we have eaten up our future by old feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in other words, our divine self sees that any time we feel about something new, as we did in our past, it's not new anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if we approach something we've never had any feelings about that will allow us to experience it and give us new emotions, now we're growing. Now we're getting at the heart of how we can have miracles in our life, get anything we want. The key is we can't attach fear, We can't attach insecurity. We can't attach all of those emotions to the thing we want most. It must be said in spite of them.
Mm-hmm.
So fear, it's interesting, Dr. Carl, there have been studies recently that have tracked the wavelength, in other words, the frequency wave of fear versus the frequency wave of love. And they actually ran this frequency through the strands of DNA. And what they found, what scientists found was, is that fear has a long, slow wave, missing nearly all of our DNA components. So in other words, we don't grow out of fear. But love is very, very short. It's like a weaving. It weaves through our DNA and opens up our DNA. And the reason we want to open up our DNA is because the moment we say, I've always been well, our DNA starts to open up to new pair. In other words, new coding that has never been sick, and it starts to code a new cell. That's how we get the healing. So fear is destructive. Love, on the other hand, opens us up to the miracle of God and to anything that we want. So I would tell your people, it's absolutely natural to be afraid of anything new, and it's natural to be afraid of your worries. But if you're tired of that, let's change it.
Jay-Z, people talk about creating your future. Can you create your future by being open? I have a house, I have my health, or do you need to get more specific?
That is the great question, Dr. Carl. I love the future, and I want all of your listeners to be jazzed about the future. The future is all potentials existing simultaneously. That's what it says in quantum physics. So we get to have anything. We get to do anything. We're at the moment we face the future now, it's an open book. We get to change. So I tell people, don't get too colorful into it. Do the basics. Do, I have always had my home. I have always been radiantly healthy, always. I have always had a fortune. I have always been in love. I have always lived a long life. And the most enigmatic, I have always seen what I have never seen. I have always known what I have never known. Now, that list, you can personalize, but you keep it simple. You don't visualize anything but the words. Because your brain already knows what the words mean. You just visualize that. Then you allow the future to manifest that for you, like in the next hour, in your evening, in the next 10 minutes, tomorrow morning. You get up and you say it again. You go to bed and you say it. Oh, my heck. You're going to wake up with such enthusiasm and such glitter and such energy. When you say these things, the future's right here. Now you're looking at it. If you try to visualize your house, it won't work. If you try to visualize, you just visualize the words. Because the words come from our brain and learning part of our brain that then produces the words that are really echo back to a thought. And then the thought into our God, into our subconscious, into consciousness. If we leave it clear, we will be amazed at what the future will bring. And the reason is because we don't want to load down the future with the things from the past. We want to have that brand new. Brand new.
Now, Jay-Z, you've mentioned your school. Can you tell us about the school? And also, I want to hear about Ramtha.
Ramtha, great enigma. The school is Ramtha School of Enlightenment, of Ancient Wisdom. It sounds a little corny, but he named it that way. Ramtha started this school after doing dialogues all around the world. He was an entity that differentiated what he was from being a medium or a trans medium or a seer or an empathetic or whatever. Because when Rampa trained me, he actually pulled me out of my body, and in mid-1970s, the experience is long. Your readers can read about it in my autobiography, A State of Mind. He pulled me out of my body, and I had several experiences, and then I went into a tunnel that appeared in my living room, and I went to this tunnel and saw amazing things. It's the same experience people have in near-death experiences. And once I learned how to leave my body, the object was manifold. First, that Rampa would use my body, but not in it. He's not in it. He's simply, his mind is manipulating my body, just like our spirit of our consciousness manipulates our body. And in the meantime, I'm having adventures in another time, in actually no time. After getting this process underway, we never advertised, but Rampa became a firestorm in the late 70s and early 80s. And it was a pristine time in America, because I always say that's when all of the paranormal experiences came out of the closet. And it was good to talk about things like this. He termed what I did as a channeling, and I was always correcting people. No, I'm not a medium. No, I'm not in a trance. No, no, I'm actually leaving my body. And Rampa had gave the prophecy that one day scientists will come and test all of this, and it would be true, and it would be a unique phenomenon. So he coined the term channeling that you hear today. That's a part now of our worldwide lexicon. Rampa had the greatest news. He simply emulated Christ's teaching when he says, "Behold God." But in beholding God, he was looking at everyone in the audience and everyone that was invisible. And he started his mission by teaching every individual about what they were, who they were, where they came from, and why they were here. And it all had to do about are each of us as a divine purpose. He started the school after that decade, around 1987, manifested a place for us, the place to be, and where we're at in Washington State. And it was an old horse ranch, and we ended up building what we thought for horses, but was actually for his school. In his school, he manifested miracles for people. That's what he was known for. When he said he would send a runner, I mean, he would send a runner and change people's lives incredibly. He would make wonderful things happen with people. The school's purpose is to teach people to do what he does. And so the school is about your first day. Your very first day is that you sit down and do sending and receiving without any tutorial, anything. He just says, all right, now you're going to do this. This is your partner, and this is your partner, and he partners people up that oftentimes don't speak the same language. And he teaches brand new people. He said, you're going to see how wonderful you are. He allows them to show themselves how incredible they are. And people are astounded that they could actually receive or send messages to a partner from afar. And then the next thing is they do a remote viewing. The Great Hall is covered with beginning day remote viewers that get it correct, and then he shows them how to read a deck of cards. That's day number one. Now, the wonderful thing is that he's not a philosopher. He's not a New Age philosopher. He's not ooey-gooey. I mean, this is a teacher who's going to show you that you can do miraculous things. And then he's going to give you the knowledge of how you did that. And then you go home from an event, a beginning event that lasts 4 days. You go home, and you know how to do this. You know how to create your day, change your neighborhood. In other words, you approach the future and say, I'm all in, and this is who I'm going to be. And you go home with knowing how to heal yourself, knowing how to create your reality, because that's what it's all about, that consciousness and energy creates the nature of reality, and mind is the sum total of that. And so, and then people go home, and they do this in their life, then they come back, and the school gets progressive, and then there is a retreat, and then they move to to an intermediate group, and then to the advancing group. And mm-hmm. with every level, the skill level, I mean, everybody that's in Rampto School, and there's about 30,000 of them right now, mm-hmm. they all know how to create reality.
Mm-hmm.
And not because they're espousing it verbally and they're preaching it, but because they do it. And if you do something and it works, then you have the tool to change your life. And so it's all about the experience here.
Mm-hmm.
And so he teaches people to do incredible things. And the more advancing the group, the more incredible the things. So the school is open to everyone. You come, attend the event here. There's actually an online home study program that you can sign up for. And then once you're in school, Rampto streams his events worldwide. So you could be in your computer and mm-hmm. watch him give mm-hmm. you a teaching.
Hmm.
And watch how it's done. Hmm. The end effect is to be superhumans.
Mm-hmm. And how long does the courses last?
Well, the course, the school, the first level of school mm-hmm. is all day and evening for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the retreat is usually a 7-day retreat. And then people come here. They don't have to stay at hotels. They stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's huge, huge hall and training fields, even a labyrinth, and the advancing groups learn to go through this labyrinth
mm-hmm.
blindfolded and taped and how to see without eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All of the courses happening here, so everybody brings their tent or their motorhome or their sleeping bag and they sleep on the floor. There's a full food court, everything you need. But it is, as Ram would say, it's humble ground to create the birth of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us about some of your noteworthy clients?
I would, but I'm not.
Oh, you're not allowed to.
Well, because we have a lot of very famous people in school.
Mm-hmm.
But when reporters ask me that, and I'm on different shows, I always say to them, well, to me, everyone's a celebrity in
mm-hmm.
school because they can do things that common people don't know how to do yet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, yes, we have a lot of, all 30,000 are celebrities. If you're asking, we have politicians, we have actors, actresses, we
mm-hmm.
have literary writers, we have corporate heads,
mm-hmm.
and then we just have angel folkies who just said, I'm ready for a change in my life, and this speaks to me, and I'm here. And nobody cares about the famous person that's their partner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because everyone is sort of brought equal. They're delighted to meet them, but nobody follows famous people around here. Famous people have to do the work just like everybody else does it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jay-Z, don't you have several books, or Ramflet has done several books?
Yes. Two great books.
Mm-hmm.
The White Rampto book, it sold millions.
Mm-hmm.
It has enlightened a whole decade of people. The White Rampto book, my autobiography by Warner Books, it was on the New York bestsellers list, and it's called My Story by Jay-Z Knight.
Mm-hmm.
But then Rampto's teachings are in book form, or you can actually go to direct view online and actually see him teaching
mm-hmm.
right now. So if your audience are interested, they can go to rampto.com to the homepage.
Mm-hmm.
They can see teachings in process. They can see some of the work that we're doing internationally. They can actually go to a segment of it and open up a file and watch Rampto give a teaching on anything. They can go to the store. There is enormous amount of books on any topic you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us about What the Bleep?
Did you like it?
Do you know, I still haven't gotten all through it. I've had it for probably a year, but I just almost never get to sit down at the television.
Oh, you know what, Carl? It's because you haven't made yourself. You haven't decided it's time to sit down.
Oh, I haven't.
Okay.
Well, I sit a lot, but I sit at the computer working on the radio or working on books or whatever. So, but I don't usually sit to watch something.
Well, wonderful thing, Carl, about mm-hmm. What the Bleep Do We Know.
Mm-hmm.
It was created by students of the RAM. The creator is quite a genius. His name is Will Arts. And Will was a computer genius, and he got his fortune when he came to school and learned how to manifest. And he was able to manifest something in 20 seconds and then 2 weeks sell it. And he made his fortune. And then he decides, this is how people are in school, then he decides that he wants to create a movie. So he created this fantastic movie that is part docudrama. It's a docudrama and science. And they were putting within the movie all the aspects that Ramtha taught him and that they have learned. And it was so brilliantly done because we had scientists in, we had theologians in, we had historians in, and he filmed this all about a deaf girl who didn't love herself, and then all of the wonderful, incredible things that she experiences and her potentials to experience. Now, because he did this film and funded it himself and wanted to distribute it, he got locked out of a lot of distribution houses because he just thought that everybody should have this film. Well, it, you know, it was it was hugely successful and really set the stage for all of the other documentaries that would come after it that's on the same subject, you know, or a take on the same subject. You know, some are good, some are not so good. But in our film, you actually see how it is possible that you can keep your house and how it is possible that you can choose reality to where you get more money than you normally have or that you're well or whatever that it is. And that doesn't exist in the documentaries that would follow it. So he really set a precedence with this movie to open the door to other creators up on this subject matter to really begin to expose things to the world. Many of the ghost shows that are on the Travel Channel or are on other channels on DirecTV, they really come out of the opening of this movie to open people's minds because they saw it was such a success. So in the end, I didn't produce this movie. We didn't make it. It was students and a very brilliant man who had manifested everything that he wanted, and he knew how to do it. And all the people that played the parts in it, they had done the same. And they said, let's put together a movie that teaches people how to do this, and it's fun.
Great. Jay-Z, would you give us your website again?
It's www.ramtha.com.
Great. Well, this has been very interesting, and I am so happy that you had the time to share with us. And I know the listeners are going to be excited about a new way of looking at things. And maybe I can give up my affirmations to look at things a little differently, too.
You know what, Carl? It's what you say about that is that you just give up that you've gotten used to it and just substitute. Just say, I'm going to create a new neighborhood. And I'm creating my day today. And that's it.
Great.
There is no past attached to that.
Great.
And see how that works for you.
Yeah.
And just remember, Carl, you are wonderful, and so are all your listeners. You are wonderful, and you can do anything. Just let go of yesterday and create a new now.
Great. Good. Thank you very much, Jay-Z.
It was my pleasure. My pleasure. Anytime.
Great.
All right.
And now a word about a distinctive style magazine at http.adistinctivestyle.com. The current issue pays tribute to women who are making a difference daily, especially the baby boomers. This issue salutes actress, trendsetter, and activist Diane Keaton, who graces the cover with, what else? Her traditional fedora. Diane's family life was pretty traditional, but her mother kept a series of journals for years, says Denise Marie, the publisher. These journals provided Diane with a deeper glimpse into her mother's life. Sadly, Keaton's mother was later diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And it was a difficult time for Diane, says Marie, who includes information in the magazine about the National Alzheimer's Association. Diane reminds readers that they are not alone in the personal fight against Alzheimer's. She's been there. We are all affected, and we can all lean on and learn from each other. The winter issue also features an in-depth interview with actress, fitness enthusiast, and go-getter Jane Fonda. Fonda, 73, who is still going strong. She's not only a role model for other women, but she maintains a busy, self-fulfilling schedule of fitness, friends, family, and performing. Her energy is contagious, says Marie. Over 60 supermodel Cindy Joseph is also highlighted in the current issue. Proud of her long, wavy gray hair, Joseph was discovered by a model scout at age 49, appearing in national print ads and magazine covers. A former celebrity makeup artist, Joseph recently launched her own cosmetic line, affectionately called Boom by Cindy Joseph. Joseph, who enjoys traveling, working out, and of course laughing, says, "I'm happy that modeling at my age has opened people's minds to more possibilities in their lives." In the winter 2012 issue, readers can also find green skincare products, interactive videos, music, and more. Other profiles include Sarah Snow, a green activist who dishes advice on Discovery Network shows, Alessandra Rain, a radio talk show host and prescription drug expert who explores the meaning of aging gracefully, and quotes and personal anecdotes from women around the world who discuss what motivates them to succeed and how they live regret-free. You won't want to miss this exciting winter issue of A Distinctive Style, available at http://adistinctivestyle.com. And now for an analysis of another dream by our expert from last week, Dr. Michael Lennox. I dreamed that I was going to a special evening event for work. It was a high-level reception, which would include executives and college presidents, like the people I often deal with in my work. My husband was not here, so our yard boy was going to be my escort. I looked out the window and saw that he was pulling up in the driveway to pick me up. I went upstairs to finish my dressing. I was very frustrated because my clothes didn't fit right. I could wear them, but they were tight. I suddenly realized that there was no way I could take our yard guy to the high-level event, and I didn't know why I hadn't thought of this before. He is a very nice guy, but doesn't have social skills and wouldn't right. fit in. I didn't know why I had ever agreed to take him. I knew that I had to figure out a way to not go with him and hopefully not hurt his feelings. The dream ended.
I think I saw this as a TV movie.
Oh, did you?
Well, this is a wonderful set of archetypes. So we've got class structure, we've got sophistication, shame, I can't help but escape from the youth and attractiveness. You know, when I hear woman taking her yard boy, she didn't say gardener and she didn't say landscape technician, she said yard boy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of connotation in that, both I can't help but sort of feel the sort of sexual energy to sort of the young laborer type, and the clothes not fitting tightly have a suggestion of, harkening back to earlier sense of youth and attractiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband is out of the picture, okay? However, I so wish we had this dreamer here, because that's only one facet of what this yard boy in the dream represents. Now, everybody in the dream is part of the dreamer in the work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this woman may have a husband, and there may be relationship issues there. This woman may have a yard boy, and there might be some unspoken stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe the second circle of interpretation. But in the inner circle of interpretation, they're all part of her. Mm-hmm. So we've got, on the one hand, this sort of aspirational societal kind of everything is good with me if I am operating in the realm of high level.
Mm-hmm.
The executive is the college president. The yard boy then has to represent the part of herself that she sacrifices, that she doesn't get to take along with her when she's sort of busy presenting herself in the world as high level,
mm-hmm.
capable, smart.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be very curious, if I were working with this dreamer one-on-one, I'd be like, okay, what do you give up by not bringing that with you?
Mm-hmm.
I can only speak of it in terms of myself. I can give you an example for myself. I happen to be fairly playful and childlike in nature.
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, I talk loud, I talk with my hands, and I'm a little bit sort of missing that edit mechanism that a lot of people have. Now, for years I spent treating that part of me like the yard boy that wasn't allowed to come along.
Mm-hmm.
Until I realized that I was leaving my playful side at home a lot of times when my life unfolds much better when I just be that part of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope this isn't taking away from how this dreamer might be able to reflect on this. Something about the yard boy is being left behind and in fact hurt. The feelings are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still committed to leaving him behind.
Mm-hmm.
So what does he represent for the dreamer? He must represent social ineptitude. He must be representing, maybe I don't deserve being on the A-list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a common human experience. We get connected to something very prominent, and then we have to face, do I deserve this
mm-hmm.
prominence?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, every other person who comes into my office as a, you know, psychotherapy client is, you know, doesn't feel they deserve mostly stuff that they very much deserve,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's all about integration and bringing everybody to the party, including the yard boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, also remember that the yard boy as a symbol, as an archetype, is very connected to fertility. And I don't mean fertility in terms of, you know, progeny and children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about being vibrantly creative. The yard boy is the person in your life who makes your garden grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So some energy that wants to come along with this dreamer more intimately is the part of her that she's a little bit resistant to, maybe a little ashamed of, but that actually has access to the fertilizer and the tools and the wherewithal to make her life more abundant
mm-hmm.
and prosperous.
Mm-hmm. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I hope some of the information was useful to you. I invite you also to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all of the past shows back to 2008 in the archives. You can also sign up for a free monthly email Healthy Holistic Aging newsletter and contact me if you wish. You will also find my last book, Healthy Holistic Aging, for sale, as well as some ebooks and a CD on smoking cessation. I hope you will join me again on the next show when we will start looking at nutrition and weight loss. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.